Hello and welcome to the Hockey From Across the Pond podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Rackham. Wherever in the world you're listening from today, I hope you're doing well. Let's kick off, as we do every week, by talking about the American Hockey League, and it's been a very busy week. Let's start off with the AHL's Player of the Week for the period ending March 12, 2023. That was Cooper Marody of the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. He had 6 goals and 9 points, which helped Lehigh win 3 out of 3 in a rare now weekend where they play a 3-3. That's becoming far less common, certainly with the 72-game schedule, just in general. And Cooper Marody made use of those 3 games in 3 days by helping Lehigh win those with 6 goals and 9 points. He's a good player. He's playing out on the West Coast for a little while. He's come over to the East and he's had a nice positive effect for Lehigh. We have a couple of suspensions. One of these is a player we're very much aware of, and that is Boko Imama of the Tucson Roadrunners. He was assessed a instigator penalty within the final 5 minutes of the third period of a game against Milwaukee back on March 11th. So he had a 1-game suspension, which meant he missed a game against Calgary on Friday, March the 17th. A suspension that you might have seen a little bit about on social media is that of Charlotte Checkers goaltender Jean-Francois Berube. He was suspended 3 games as a consequence of his actions in a game against Bridgeport. So he's been suspended under the provisions of AHL Rule 40.4. after receiving a game misconduct for physical abuse of an official, that is Category 3. So he missed games against Charlotte on March the 17th, March the 18th, and upcoming March the 25th against Providence. Now, as much as we might complain and whinge and moan about officials, there is no good reason, there is no excuse for players to abuse officials, whether that's physically or verbally. And I like the fact he has been suspended, but again, I'm of the opinion, like, is 3 games really enough? I know it's only a Category 3, but even so, this is the kind of thing we want to be getting rid of in the game. I think coaches' comments after a game is what it is, and you can deal with that, but what players do in the ice is slightly different. So we'll see. 3 games doesn't seem enough, but I'm glad that he was obviously in the wrong and he's been made to suffer some kind of punishment. We have a couple of teams that have clinched playoff berths. The Coachella Valley Firebirds were the second team to do just that, following on from the Calgary Flames in the Pacific Division. And they did it last Wednesday with a 4-1 victory against the Iowa Wild. The third team to clinch a playoff berth and the first in the Eastern Conference is the Toronto Marlies. They lost on Friday afternoon, but claimed a playoff spot because Laval lost against Utica. A bad loss for Laval, but we might talk about that a little bit later. The Toronto Marlies are not doing that great down the stretch, but such is their lead in the North Division and how many points have accumulated up until this point. Making the playoffs was just a foregone formality, really. Let's talk about the hockey on the ice this week, and starting off with some results of note before we move on to Team of the Week, etc, etc. The Toronto Marlies did beat Rochester 6-3 on the back of a hat-trick for Bobby McMahon, who's having a fantastic season. Rochester shut out Laval 2-0. Malcolm Subban with a 29-save shutout. We have a couple of comebacks here. Springfield trailed 2-0 to Hartford before winning that game 4-2. That was on the back of a hat-trick for Will Bitton. Iowa trailed Manitoba 2-0 before also winning that game 4-2. Adam Beckman had a 3-point game. Marco Rossi had a couple of goals. Speaking of Marco Rossi, he scored a hat-trick and a 6-2 win for Iowa against San Diego. There was a barnstormer of a game between Hartford and Bridgeport, which Hartford came out on top 7-5. The big producers for Hartford in that game were Johnny Brzezinski, 2 goals, 1 assist, and Will Cooley, 1 goal, 2 assists. And last but not least, Bridgeport had a big win against Syracuse, 5-2. Andy Andreyev had a hat-trick and 4 points. Chris Terry had a three-point game. So quite a few hat-tricks and multi-goal games this week. Moving on to some teams that had good weeks, but are not the team of the week. Charlotte played two games, but won both. They hammered the Toronto Marlies twice. Neither game was much of a contest, if I'm being honest. I think they could have had anyone in goal, really. Anyone on a deck chair, pretty much. They beat Toronto 5-0 and 4-1 in two very, very comfortable victories. Boyce Scranton were one of 4 teams to record a record of 2-0-1. They beat Rochester 5-4 in a shootout after trailing 3-0. They then lost 4-3 in overtime to Syracuse before rounding off a good week with a 5-2 win against Lehigh. Calgary beat Ontario 4-3 after trailing 2-0. They then shut out Tucson 5-0 before recording a 3-2 shootout loss to Tucson. Colorado recorded a 2-1 shootout win against Abbotsford, a 6-2 win against Rockford before losing to Rockford 3-2 in overtime. And then Abbotsford, they defeated Ontario 4-0 and then by a scoreline of 5-2 before losing 2-1 to Colorado in the shootout. Moving on to the Hershey Bears, they won 3 of their 4 games this week. They lost 5-3 to Providence, but went on to beat Lehigh 6-3 and 2-1. And then they defeated Rochester by a scoreline of 2-1. So good week for the Hershey Bears. An even better week for the Providence Bruins. Played 4-1-4. They beat Hershey 5-3, as I just mentioned. Syracuse 4-2. Springfield 4-1. And Springfield 3-2 in a shootout win. It was between Providence and my team of the week. Four who would be the team of the week, but I went with the Coachella Valley Firebirds simply because they scored a bucket load of goals this week. In 4 games, they scored 21 goals. They beat Texas 6-3, Iowa 4-1, Iowa again 3-1, and San Diego 8-4. A big week for Coachella. As I said, they've secured a playoff spot, and they look like they're going to be, I'm pretty sure they're going to finish at least second in the Pacific Division. And who knows what might be possible down the stretch. Player of the week. Lots and lots and lots of candidates this week. And I'm going to mention a few players before I get to my player of the week. And it was a difficult decision, let me tell you. For Wilkes-Barre Scranton, Drake Kukulia had 3 goals and 2 assists for 5 points in 3 games. For Providence, Connor Carrick, remember him, a defenceman, he had 7 assists. Vinny Leteri played 1 game for Providence this past week, but had 3 goals and 2 assists for 5 points. And Chris Wagner, he had 2 goals and 3 assists for 5 points. For Iowa, Marco Rossi, he had 5 goals and 2 assists for 7 points in 4 games. But my player of the week came from Coachella, and there were a ton of candidates from the Valley Firebirds this week. Brogan Rafferty had 3 goals, 3 assists for 6 points. Max McCormick had 2 goals, 4 assists for 6 points. And Cameron Hughes had 4 goals and 3 assists for 7 points. But my player of the week, and a player I mentioned at least once or twice in the past few weeks, is Ty Cartier. He had 4 goals and 4 assists for 8 points in 4 games. He's just having an outstanding rookie season, and you know you just can't say enough good things about him. It's on my list of things to do to just write a small article about what he's been able to achieve in the AHL this year, because it's nothing short of special. And because he was undrafted, he's not really spoken about that much. My goaltender of the week, this was a little bit easier in some ways, but I went with Abbotsford Canucks goaltender Artur Silovs. He had a record of 1-0-1 this past week. He stopped 75 of 78 shots, posting a .963 save percentage. Everything that has been good about Abbotsford this year, Silovs has been a big part of that. And the next success they may have in the playoffs will certainly fall on his shoulders somewhat. Shall we take a look at the standings? Yes, let's do that. We'll start off in the Atlantic Division, where six teams will make the playoffs. Providence are top with 84 points. Hershey are 3 points back with a game in hand. Then we have Charlotte, who are 8 points back of Providence in third place with 76 points. They're 5 points clear of Springfield in fourth place with 71 points. There's then 3 points back to Lehigh in fifth with 68 points. And then there's Bridgeport in sixth with 64 points. Now, what's interesting is that there's quite a battle heating up for that, probably just for that last spot. I suppose if Lehigh went on a bad run and they've lost their last three games, there could be a case for teams catching Lehigh as well. But yeah, Hartford in seventh place are just a point behind Bridgeport. And then Wilkes-Barre Scranton are only 3 points back of Hartford in last place. So only 4 points separate sixth to eighth. Wilkes-Barre Scranton are 2-0-1 in the last three games. They're 3-4-3 in the last 10. They're picking up points. And they're giving themselves a chance after a horrid run. After a good, they had a good start to the season, and then they just fell off the edge of a cliff, and they're trying to recover it now. They could do it. I mean, there's still 11 games left in the season. That's a lot of points up for grabs, and it's entirely possible that they will make a run. In the North Division, where just five teams will make the playoffs, the Toronto Marlins have obviously clinched their playoff spot. They are 15 points clear of Utica. You know, they were almost 20 points clear at one stage, but them's the breaks, and they are certainly not on a good run of form right now. Syracuse are 2 points back of Utica, but with two games in hand. Also with two games in hand are the Rochester Americans, who are 6 points back of Utica. So you have Syracuse with 66 points, Rochester in fourth with 62 points, and then Bellevue in fifth with 61 points. You've then got Laval in sixth with 60 points, and Cleveland in seventh with 59 points. So that is very tight. So you've just got between second and seventh, there's just a 9 point gap. And then between, you know, fifth and seventh, there's just 2 points. So anything could change with the huge amount of divisional games being played. Anything could happen in the North Division. I think that's one division that could go right down to the last game of the season, which it did last year as well. Moving on to the Central Division. Again, five teams are making the cut here. And where should we start? Milwaukee are joint top with Texas. Both teams have 75 points. Manitoba in third are 1 point back. 74 points. All have played 60 games. All have got 12 games remaining. I think it's going to be a fascinating battle for the title there. I wouldn't like to call which way that would go. You've got to admire the firepower of the Texas Stars. But yeah, I could easily see any of those teams winning the Central Division. Wouldn't like to call that. We then have Iowa and Rockford in 4th and 5th place respectively. Iowa 67 points, as have Rockford, but the Ice Hogs have a game in hand. Fair play to Rockford, who have been on a roughly a run of form, which has seen them around the 500 mark, which has seen them been able to keep 5th place. And Chicago have made a valiant effort to try and close the gap, but they are 9 points back of Rockford with 2 games in hand. They would need a monumental effort, but it's been a monumental effort to get them in a position where you can even think about them making the playoffs. And Grand Rapids Griffins, who are 10 points back of Rockford, having played the same amount of games, games are just running out. It's almost an impossibility. They would need to virtually run the board for the rest of the season and need results to go their way. So I can't see that happening. In the Pacific Division, you have Calgary, who are top now with 90 points. Coachella Valley Firebirds have played 4 fewer games and they're 2 points back. So, you know, the race for the Pacific Division title is certainly on between those two teams. And that's a private battle. Abbotsford in third have 76 points. Colorado in fourth has 72 points, but are only 2 games back. You've then got Ontario 65 points in fifth. Bakersfield with 62 points in sixth. And then Tucson in seventh place, 58 points. Seventh place is the last playoff berth. San Jose are a point back of Tucson, and then there's a further 6 points back to Henderson. It's difficult to imagine Henderson have any chance now, having played more games of both Tucson and San Jose. So it's looking like a battle between Bakersfield, Tucson and San Jose for the last two spots in the Pacific Division. Let's move on to talking about UK hockey. And we have some news from the CHL, the Champions Hockey League. The league board has confirmed that the upcoming places for the 2023-24 season have been announced. There will be teams from Denmark, France, Norway, Slovakia and the United Kingdom. They are the challenger places. So the 2023-24 CHL season will be played with 24 teams. There will be a new playing format. In this new structure, there will be one place reserved for the reigning champions, that is Tapara. And there will be 18 places allocated to shareholder leagues and 5 to the challenger leagues. However, this is the note that made UK fans stand up and take a bit of notice. Based on tradition, national champions in the Elite League are crowned after the regular season, not in the playoffs. Should the Guildford Flames become national champions, which is possible, the CHL place will be allocated to the runners-up, as Guildford do not meet the CHL's requirements. Now, the CHL do not expand or extrapolate upon what those requirements are. I'm guessing they are building requirements, video capability requirements, possibly capacity requirements. I don't know. But man, this sucks. The CHL is supposed to be an inclusive league, you know, showcasing teams around Europe, some teams that you may not have ever heard of. And it sucks for Guildford. Like, it's good news for the Belfast Giants, obviously, who may finish second. But it sucks. And I really feel for the Guildford Flames. Now, obviously, they haven't won the league yet, so, you know, this is getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but it's kind of upset me. So I was a little bit disappointed with this decision. Moving on to other news, we have a couple of camps are being run. The Kingston Sharks will be running their junior camp in July. So it's going to be a summer camp. The dates are the 26th, 27th, 28th of July 2023. The location is the Hull Arena. And all the details can be found on the EIHA's Twitter feed. You can also check out the Kingston Sharks on Twitter. They are at Kingston_Sharks. All the details can be found there. There's also an email address, but I'm not going to break my card loose in this week. Also announcing a kind of camp, but they are recruiting new players, is the Junior Bison team. They are recruiting new players of any ability for next season. They are looking for children aged 5 to 15 years of age. And this is going to be at Planet Ice in Basingstoke, so it's in the south if you're in that region. You can find out more details again on the EIHA's website and Twitter feed. If you want to check out Junior Bison on Twitter, they are at Junior Bison, all one word. So please go and check them out, or if you know anyone that might be interested, pass on that piece of information. Breaking news somewhat is that Ewan King has been appointed as the new head of the Great Britain Goaltending Development Programme. He is also the goaltending coach for Great Britain's men and elite league team, Cardiff Devils, and he's going to be taking over from the departing Gary Bryan. Last but not least, the Showcase Draft Tournament will look to current GB internationals and legends of the British game for inspiration for its team names. So the four under 12, the four under 12s to U under 15 teams will be named after retiring GB and Sheffield Steelers captain Jonathan Phillips, Cardiff Devils duo Ben Bowes and Mark Richardson, and the first English trained player ever drafted in the NHL, a certain Liam Kirk. The U16 and U18 teams will be named after two of the greatest players to play for GB, former Nottingham Panther David Clark and former Newcastle Viper David Longstaff. These are all fantastic choices, etc. And there's a quote here from Liam Kirk saying, "It is a privilege to have a team named after me. It sounds like a really exciting format, and I know how much I would have enjoyed the chance to play with the best players of my age group from other regions as well as against my mates." So to give you a little bit of a clue, if you don't know, as to what kind of format it will be, The U12s and U15s will be drafted on ability into four teams of 22, featuring 20 players and two goalies. They'll play against each other in a round-robin tournament on the Coronation weekend. The U16s and the U18s will play a two-game series as Team Longstaff and Team Clark, again equally drafted on ability. The celebration of this junior ice hockey tournament event will be played at Ice Sheffield, 6th to the 8th of May, and spectators are invited to come and watch and enjoy the weekend's worth of hockey. There is going to be a push for sponsors for the event, and any money raised from sponsorship will be invested into the weekend to keep low costs as low as possible. I don't know if it's going to cost anything for people to go and watch. Obviously, more details will be released as and when. But this is not a criticism, but an observation from my point of view. And I'm fairly certain I'm not the only person to maybe have this viewpoint. Now, I think the choices for the GB Internationals and Legends of the British Game are great. I wouldn't have anything against any of those. But lack of representation. There's no woman here, and there's two obvious choices to me. Saffron Allen and Angela Taylor. They would be two women who've had an amazing impact on British hockey. And it would have been nice to see one of those two given some kind of recognition by having a team named after them. I think it would have been a nice touch, and it would have shown a greater level of inclusion and representation. That's just my opinion. Moving on to our hashtags this week. Hashtag Real Deal Liam Steele. Sam and Arm played a couple of games this past weekend. The first was a 4-3 overtime win at Prince George. No points for Liam in that game. But in the second game, Prince George inflicted a 4-0 shootout loss on Sam and Arm. Prince George got the better of that weekend, taking three of a possible 4 points, where Salmon Arm took 2 points. The season is almost at an end. The Salmon Arm Silverbacks have 3 regular season games. They have a couple of home games against Penticton and West Kelowna. And they finish off the season with a road game in the Penticton on March the 26th, which is next Sunday. So yeah, after that we'll be talking about the playoffs, I guess. Right, as far as other hashtags go, all I can tell you is that as regards hashtag Liam Kirkwatch, Liam is back in the UK. I know he was spotted at a Sheffield Steel Dogs game Friday, Saturday maybe, whatever. So he's back in the UK, no idea what his future's going to hold, but I'm sure he's enjoying some time back in the UK. He'll probably be enjoying some home cooking as well. So Liam's travelled back to the UK, but don't forget that we've teamed up with our pals over at Sports Travel Tours this season, and you can have a chance to travel the world and go watch some hockey. They run some fantastic hockey tours, including the Spengler Cup, and you're going to watch the NHL. And you can find all the information about that on their website, www.sportstraveltours.com. They're also on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. If you log onto the website, you can sign up for all the latest tour details, prices and all the other information that you might require. All their tours are fully inclusive. All you have to worry about is getting to the airport. If you do fancy booking a tour through our friends, you can save yourself £50 by putting in the promo code HFATP. Okay, let's switch to talking about the NHL this week, and we're going to start off with the three stars of the week. They were Clayton Keller of the Arizona Coyotes, 4 goals, 5 assists for 9 points in 4 games. Sidney Crosby, 2 goals, 5 assists for 7 points in 4 games. And Mitchell Marner of the Toronto Maple Leafs, 2 goals, 4 assists for 6 points in 2 games. Really sad to hear that Andrei Svechnikov is going to miss the remainder of the regular season and the Stanley Cup playoffs for Carolina because of a knee injury. He's going to require reconstructive surgery on his right ACL. Just really, he's a fantastic hockey player, and this is just a horrible injury, and I hope he's able to make a full comeback, because, you know, as much as players, you might not like certain players or certain teams, you want to watch the best talent in the league play. They're the most exciting players, and he's definitely in that ballpark for me. Arturi Lehkonen is going to miss the remainder of the regular season for the Colorado Avalanche. He has a broken finger. He's expected to be out between 4 to 6 weeks. I expect him to be rested for all of the regular season. What's the point of risking a player like him? So yeah, that's a big loss for Colorado. Sam Gagner is going to be out for the rest of the season for the Winnipeg Jets. He's going to have surgery on each of his hips. Man alive. So at 33 years of age, you have to wonder how long his career is going to go on for, having to have surgery on his hips at that age. Obviously, at some point, you've got to start thinking about the rest of your life. But wish him all the best with that, and hopefully he's able to make a full recovery. Christian Dvorak is going to miss the rest of the season for the Montreal Canadiens. He's had a knee surgery. He hadn't played a game since March the 7th. That's probably... if you're a fan of Montreal wanting to tank, that's probably good news. Obviously an injury to him isn't great news, but for the team's prospects down the stretch, that's probably a good thing. Everyone's favourite goaltender, and yes, there is sarcasm in my voice, Jordan Binnington, who was suspended for 2 games without pay for roughing and unsportsmanlike conduct against Minnesota Wild forward Ryan Hartman. That was during a game between St. Louis and Minnesota back on March the 15th. During the game, Binnington was assessed a match penalty. If you saw the viral clip, you saw that Marc-Andre Fleury tried to engage in a goalie fight with Binnington, but was held back by the officials. It's quite a funny clip because Fleury was mic'd up for the game, which I think is something the NHL should do for every game. You should have like one player mic'd up. I think you get to learn a bit more about the players and their personalities, and it would give you some kind of insight. I think it's something they should definitely look into. The NHL Draft Lottery is to be held on May the 8th. So it's being called the Connor Bedard Sweepstakes. Connor Bedard has 70 goals and 70 assists in I don't know how many games, but it's not many. He's having an absolutely ridiculous season. So the Draft Lottery will be a 30-minute standalone show. It will be broadcast on ESPN in the USA and Sportsnet and TVAS in Canada. It will determine the order of selection for the first 16 picks in the upcoming draft. Obviously, we know the upcoming draft in Nashville is going to be hosted over June the 28th and 29th. Is there anything else I want to add about this? Not really. The only other thing I will add is the top prospects for the upcoming draft will gather at the NHL Scouting Combine, which will be June the 4th to the 10th in Buffalo. And these playoffs are due to start April the 17th, apparently. According to Gary Bettman, who is the NHL Commissioner, in case you weren't aware, the NHL has completed the first round of bidding in the sale of the Ottawa Senators. So the first round of bidding is in the books, apparently. Obviously, we've all heard about Ryan Reynolds and his interest in the Ottawa Senators, but obviously there's no firm news either way. Bettman also said in his press release that he is optimistic that the board will pass a proposal that includes a new arena for the Arizona Coyotes in Arizona and a referendum which is supposed to be on May the 16th. Obviously, the Coyotes are currently playing at the Mullet Arena at Arizona State University. Let's not go down that road again. The NHL GMs had their general managers meeting and have decided, shock horror, not to recommend any major changes because obviously there's nothing wrong with the NHL. This quote just made me chuckle. Gary Bettman said, and I quote, "Everybody thinks the game's in a really good place." I'm sure it is, Gary. I'm sure it is. Topics that were discussed include video reviews of pucks over the glass, high sticky miners, kicked pucks that result in goals, and fights after clean hits. Apparently none of that falls into the category of a problem, and we'll continue to look at them to see what, if anything, makes sense and a change. I don't know. I think the problem with debating the pucks over the glass a penalty is how do you determine what's deliberate and what's not. So that then becomes a judgment call by an official And if anything, that just makes the situation worse, in my opinion. As for high-sticking minors, of which many are egregious, because sometimes it's often a player who's high-sticked by his own player, or he's high-sticked by his own stick. We've seen that before. And we've seen calls given out, and then the video replay on the Jumbotron in an arena makes a mockery of the decision. I don't see why it would take 30 seconds, if that, to take a look at that, at the next whistle. Just saying. That's a really easy thing to sort of clean up and get rid of in the game. That's not difficult. And yet we're not going in that way. Kick pucks, I don't know, man. I'm of the opinion you should be allowed to kick the puck as it is, because a player's allowed to control the puck with his skate. He's allowed to pass the puck with his skate. He's allowed to, you know, when he loses his stick, he's allowed to kick the puck out of the zone. It's big, you know, and a kicking motion for a goal is, again, very tenuous. They could just make it easy by just, you know. I think, they don't want people in a scrum just using their skates in a dangerous manner. I think that's the only caveat to that, but surely we're smart people, and we can make a more concrete, solid rule. But hey ho. Apparently the NHL is averaging 6.3 goals per game, which is the highest rate at this stage of the season in 27 years. So all that stuff about the goaltender's equipment, making it smaller, making the goals bigger, what a load of old horse crap that was. That never needed to happen. And it's been proven. We have more and more talented players, with the likes of Connor McDavid, etc., etc. The game didn't need to be changed. Absolute rubbish. So it's good to hear that, you know, there are more goals. Apparently, 69% of games have gone beyond regulation this year have ended in overtime, which is the highest percentage since the shootout era began in 2005-06. I still hate the shootout, but it's nice to know that overtime is starting to produce more goals. Again, I'd like to see, would anyone listening have an issue with extending overtime to 7 minutes for a season, and then seeing whether that resulted in less shootouts? I'd like to see instigated in the AHL first and see if that had an effect, and then maybe try in the NHL, which is normally the way they used to do things, but not so much in recent times. Okay, let's move on and talk about the NHL standings. And really, it's the wildcard race that's really heating up. You have the New York Islanders with 80 points, Pittsburgh with 78, and they are two games back of the New York Islanders, so they could take the top wildcard spot. Florida are a point back of Pittsburgh, having played the same amount of games. And then there's a bit of a gap to Washington, who are 7 points back of the Islanders, having played the same amount of games. I think you can almost get to a stage where it's going to be too hard of a task for Washington. Buffalo and Ottawa do have a squeak of a chance, but they would have to win. How many games do they have left? They have 13 games left in the season. I would argue they probably have to win a minimum of 9 of those games, probably, to give them a really good shout of making the playoffs, depending on who their opponents are. Tough go for any of those teams. But yeah, I think Washington, Buffalo and Ottawa are really going to struggle. And I think it's really between New York, Islanders, Pittsburgh and Florida for that last wildcard spot there, really, in the East. As far as the Western Conference goes, it's a little bit the same. I know Calgary have given themselves a chance by, without an outstanding run of form, they are only 4 points back of Winnipeg in second place in the wildcard spot, having played one fewer game. Nashville are the team that have played fewer games than anyone else in the NHL, I think, right now. They've only played 68 games. They've got 14 games left on the docket. They are 5 points back of Winnipeg in second place, with 3 games in hand on the Jets. and the Jets have only won 4 of the last 10, and Nashville have won 5 of the last 10. But they could do it. They could do it. But the smart money is probably on Seattle to take one of the wild card spots. And I think after that, you can make a case for Winnipeg, Calgary, and Nashville. Yeah, that's it. Because I firmly believe now, looking at the standings, it's difficult to see any of those six teams currently in playoff spots missing out, unless Edmonton were to really fall in a hole. I don't really see Colorado or Minnesota struggling that much, to be honest. Both those teams are on good recent runs, so I think pretty much we're just looking at the wildcard spots down the stretch. If you're listening today on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, if you could give the podcast a rating or even a review of some kind, that would really be awesome. Even if you said you'd rather have, I don't know, Gary Lineker hosting the podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, please drop us a like and subscribe to the channel. Please join us online on Facebook and Twitter, and feel free to drop me a line with any suggestions for future guests or items you'd like to hear on the show. If you enjoy the show, why not spread the love online or tell a friend or family member who's into hockey who might be interested in downloading this hockey podcast. And it's time to title the podcast. And I think we all know that I have a bit of a soft spot for Marco Rossi. And I was delighted to see him have a really good week in the AHL this week. He had 5 goals and 2 assists for 7 points. I know he wasn't my player of the week, but I'm going to go with Magical Marco as my podcast title this week. Okay, that is it for everything hockey related. We're going to move on to the final buzzer, which is the part of the show where we'll talk about anything else hockey related I haven't already mentioned. And I don't really have anything this week or anything else at all. And the only thing I really want to mention this week is that the podcast is now going to have a release date of Monday now. Because of my new schedule, etc. And Monday is an easier day for me to release the podcast. So yeah, instead of it being released every Sunday, it's now going to be every Monday. It does mean I'm going to be able to include all the weekend results from the American Hockey League, etc. So that's a positive thing. And yeah, so for the foreseeable future, it's going to be Monday. So if you're doing your commute on a Monday morning, it might not necessarily be available for download, but it should be available every Monday from around lunchtime UK time. So if you're commuting in North America, it might be available for you. But yeah, that's the new plan moving forward. Things change, and sometimes you have to make some decisions. Not a major one. It's not as if we're switching from a Sunday to a Friday, for example, and it might actually work a little bit better. We'll have to wait and see. Now, this is the Hockey From Across the Pond podcast. As always, a huge thank you to my patrons for your continued support. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back at the same time, same place next week. Until then, stay safe, enjoy your hockey, but more importantly, please be kind to one another. Take care. Goodbye.